Today we have a talk from Mathieu. He is from the CHAP team, and he's going to be talking about deploying Matrix securely in the French government and how to do that in a federation context and how to open that up outside of a private federation to the wider world. Please give a warm round of applause to Mathieu.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. So what we are talking, we will be talking in this talk. So a bit of presentation of what we do with Matrix in France. Some talks about what are the specificities of OCHAP compared to a standard Matrix deployment. Where we want to go with CHAP, and how we thought about opening the federation securely to some other actors. CHAP, which is the project, is based on the Matrix protocol, otherwise I would not be there. So it's an instant messaging tool, of course. Since a couple of years now, it's integrated into a bigger picture, which is called La Suite Numérique, which offers some collaborative tools to all public agents. So this includes, for example, docs, which would be comparable to Notion. I mean, it's not on par with Notion for now, but it's the same kind of collaborative tool. Or Visio, which is a Visio, of course, tool. What is specific with CHAP? So it's a private federation. So currently it doesn't talk with the other home servers. It's inside a private network. So only clients can talk to it, not servers. We have 17 home servers, one for each ministry, one for the local authorities for now, and one dedicated for external users. On top of that, we have an antivirus. And we try to simplify a bit the creation of a room so people don't have to activate or deactivate every single option. So there is some kind of preset that matches a bit the user's use cases. And we also added a native directory built with email addresses, and actually that's also a big point, is that logging is done through an email addresses instead of a user ID. A bit of numbers. So we have three clients, of course, web, Android, iOS. Actually, desktop is coming. For Android and iOS, we are also going to have the X version of it later on. So end of year, basically, beginning of next year. So we have currently 665,000 accounts, created accounts, 10 million messages per month, and 375,000 active users each month, and plus 25% since May, so it's quite growing. So like I said, part of the La Suite. So the aspiration is also to integrate deeper with other tools of La Suite. Right now it's quite siloed, but this year we will work on that. I don't know yet exactly which kind of integration, but to be decided. More on the CHAP side, we are planning to open the federation to some other people. So the main target first will be the local authorities that could deploy Matrix not themselves and connect with us. So that will be, for example, a town or department, something like that. People that are not directly agent public of the states, but are under the local authorities, and that would not be able, for some legal reason, to have access for CHAPs. They could be able to talk to us. How to do that securely? I don't know, let's see. So the biggest problem that we have is user impersonation. If I connect to another home server, random home server, and someone on this home server decide to put the picture and the name of the president, there is not a lot of way in Matrix protocol or in the client's UX or stuff like that to differentiate it from the actual president. So, to avoid that, we will only connect to a list of trusted parties. Trusted parties will be asked to have a directory of user connected, either LDAP or single sign-on, so we can identify those users. Also, the fact that you can change display name is something that we don't want, so we will ask those parties to disallow it for the exact same reason. And later on, I guess, in a couple of years, we would like to have some kind of trust levels that would say, for example, if I am in a room with only people from my federation, I will be green. If something that is trusted but outside of federation, it will be oranges. And if it's someone that I never, observer that I've never known, that would be red, for example, this kind of stuff. Again, it's just ideas, for example, for the moment, but that I think is the way to go in the end. So, more on a technical level. So, what we are doing is that we are putting a border gateway at the border of our network. So we have a private network, or all the home servers in the private networks are communicating with each other. Now they want to talk to people outside of these boundaries. So to do that, we have a middle box, which is really just an application firewall, but specific to Matrix. So it filters both inbound and outbound traffic, and also it's a nice way to have a kill switch, because there is one box where it's all going through, so if there is an attack or something like that, a DOS attack, for example, at the protocol level, we can just shut down the machine and be done with it. So here is a schema of the architecture. So yeah, again, nothing really fancy. We can see our private federation talking with each other with the yellow arrow. If you go a bit upper, we can see the inbound and outbound traffic that want to go to the outside that goes through the SBG and then through the boundary of our networks, which is we have a reverse proxy for the incoming traffic and a mandatory proxy for the outgoing traffic. So, what this gateway is doing? So, for the inbound traffic, so of course we only allow to talk to a set of defined home servers. We are checking that the requests that are coming from the outside are actually signed with a good public key at the Matrix protocol level, I mean. So it's not related to TLS here, it's on top of TLS. So this is a nice feature because it avoids TLS MAT in the middle. It's a bit complicated to do TLS MAT in the middle because you need to own a CA basically, but state actor on the principle could do it. But here, since I'm going to pin in configuration the signing key, even if they manage to do that, they will not be able to send requests through this gateway. So, outbound traffic, same, only a set of trusted home servers can talk. We don't do the verification because it's our own home server, so not really useful. I hope that they are trusted and not corrupted. What we are doing is that we are pinning the federation domain over in configuration. So it's supposed to be dynamic in the Matrix protocol, since it can be fetched through the well-known file. So that's something that the administrator should be aware of if they change the domain name of their servers, they will need to warn us because it will not work anymore. We could go one way further by also pinning the root CA used by this server, so we are sure there is not something in the middle that is trying to impersonate the TLS. It's a bit less important than the inbound traffic, so it's not down yet, but one day, I guess. So what is autoscope of this gateway? Changing the content of the matrix transaction. So in a matrix transaction, you get the events being the messages or some stuff like an event can also change the states of the room, so the rights of a room, this kind of stuff. It's not easy to modify them because if you need to modify them, you need to sign them again because you will not be able to you don't have the signing key of the external server, of course. It's their own. They don't give it. They don't give the private key to you. So you will need to use one of a key you generated yourself, signed it, and make your own server accept it. It's doable, but a bit complicated. So we went to another solution, a two-layer approach. So this simple border gateway is only guaranteeing stuff at the server level, so that we talk to the good server, and then we always talk to a list of predefined server and nothing else. And for everything else, like managing rights at the room level or at the user level, it will be done through Synapse modules. So we have several trust models depending of when we will deploy. So the first one we will deploy, which is pretty soon-ish, is we will put this simple border gateway, and we already have modules that are restricting what external users can do in our federation, because we have external users on a dedicated servers. So we will apply basically the same set of rules to everybody that is coming from the outside of the federation too. So this kind of stuff will be tested at the end of the year with some French local authorities, and the goal for further down is to be able to talk with some other countries with their servers and not with our external servers, and take full advantage of the Matrix Federation. Like I said, yeah, here we are. So we are using a module to restrict what we can do. So for example, only a CHAP user can invite someone external to a room and not the reverse. For example, an external user can't invite a CHAP user to one of his room, not possible. Also, they can't change the rights of the people there, and they can't join publicly joinable rooms in neither of the side. But this is enough. I think this is not enough for local authorities, because local authorities are really close to the state, and they should probably be able to have more rights than that. Something way closer to a normal CHOP user. This is less. Trusty, so we need to be sure that it's actually doable in a safe way. And the biggest problem is transitivity. So let's say that I have a server for the CHAP Federation that is allowed to talk to another server outside, but the other server outside is also talking with another home server outside and is inviting someone else from another home servers. Right now, I have nothing to block that because it happened on their server. They will send me the event. I can refuse it, but on their server, it will be done. And so either we will have diverging rooms, basically, and not everybody will see the same set of users and the same set of events, which is not ideal, or we have some other means. So for now, it's a work in progress on our side. I have to check some stuff in the specs. For example, I know that there is a .m.rom.server ACL that could be used for that. I know that there is a lot of TNS works that was done in the last 6 months. So that's to be defined exactly what we are using to restrict that. And so let's go back also to this level of trust that I talked at the beginning. Ideally, later on, in a couple of years, it would be nice to have a way to set trust levels. So let's have a way to say, I trust fully this set of ROM servers. Those one are less trusted, and those one I don't even know about them. So please just even or hide them in the end, or show me in red. So that we need, I think, a bunch of development and cooperation with other parties in the Matrix ecosystem. So it's a nice challenge, but it's far to be done. And the UX will clearly be complicated. We are already dealing with the encryption, so we already have a level of trust with the encryption. So we have sheets, red, this kind of stuff. How do we mix that with this federation part at the UX? It's very complicated. I don't know. I will need to ask a UX guy. We will need to do user surveys, I think. So there is a lot of work to do there. And that's it. Thank you for attention. So, public money, open code. So almost 99% of what we do, you can find it in our GitHub. Oh, I'm not proud of GitHub, perhaps when we move out, but for now it's there. And don't hesitate to write us at this address, or come to me, of course, and join us in the Federation.
Please raise your hand if you have any questions for Mathieu.
Merci pour la présentation. The point you're raising at the end about trust in is very important, and there is a European-wide trust network now for European digital identity wallet and credentials there. And I was always thinking, how can we translate this on user profiles so that you could prove your identity through state-approved or state credentials? And I had talks with Element and the Matrix Foundation about this already, but I think that's a big area of work of how could we establish a trust framework across the Matrix universe, well, at least public sector deployments when we do federate, on that we know who we're talking to.
Yeah, that would be neat. Once we have a way to identify a bit more the user, it will be easier. But I think we still need to do stuff also at the protocol level and UX level, so it gets good. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to know, how do you manage new user registration?
We have the only stuff that we know about user is their emails, basically. So what happens is that we use that as a medium. So when a person wants to register, they go to CHAP, they click on register, they put their email, they receive an email, they click on the link, and they create the account, basically. So it's all based on email right now. I say right now because we are, of course, moving to SSO-based system, because in France we have the ProConnect that I talked a bit further, which is a federation of SSO, IDC federation. So basically every minister has his own SSO at home. And we talk to the ProConnect, which is basically a big bridge. And depending of the domain of the email, we route to the good SSO that is doing his work and confirming the identity and give us stuff like the name and the surname of the people. So that's already in place, but it's not enforced for now. So people can still log in with email and passwords. At some point we will deal with it, but not for now, because we still have problems like SSO that are only accessible on the internal networks of users. We want people to be able to use that on their phones, and sometimes they don't have the work phone, or it's not connected to the secured network. So we are still thinking about this stuff and discussing with the user parties to see where we are going here.
Thank you.
We have a question from the Matrix room. Element also provides an SPG. Do you have the same features? If not, what are the differences?
That's a good question. We don't have the same feature at all. Mine is really, really, really small. To be honest, I don't know the exact set of feature of the element SVG. Andrew could tell it the difference more than me, to be honest. So I'm sorry, I can't really answer the question. The scope that you see, it's the only stuff that is doing the software. I would like to keep it small, because right now it's 1,500 line. So if I want to make an audit, it's really easy, and I would like to keep it that way, at least if it answers my needs, and for now it does. So,
yeah. For context, I actually built Elements SVG. Elements SVG was pretty much built for the TI Messenger use case, but also to be generic in case we need to use it for other purposes in the future. So it's a bit more complicated. It's meant to be something you can build modules for, like we have Synapse modules. So it's more of a general use case, and as such, it's more complex. It's also proprietary. You can get it if you're a partner with us for TI Messenger, and we'll have other use cases in the future. But I think for this, you don't need something that's quite as generic. You kind of just need a small HTTP proxy.
Yeah.
So that's the current differences. Any other questions?
Hey. What was the main reason or motivation for French government to build its own federation solution instead of trying a solution available in the market, if there is any?
But it's mainly that first we would be locked with those vendors, so that's the main problem. So here we are on an open protocol, so we deploy at home, but even if we don't, for example, the local HIT is on the principle that can use providers, that's fine, as long as they meet the security requirement. So the fact that it's interoperable on a standard, that was the main point. And also, it was already used a bit in France, especially in the defense part, by some product from Thales. So we have some prior knowledge on that. Voilà.
Any more questions? In that case, please, round of applause for Mathieu.